Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another Team News live stream for Triple Game Week 35. As always, I'm joined by Neil, who, I have my fingers crossed, is not muted. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. I might not be muted, but you might notice some deterioration in sound quality. I'm using my internal mic, so I do apologise. Hopefully just a one-week thing and I can get back to normality next week.
Yeah, I can hear you clearly, they can hear you clearly, and it's a big, important week. So we're just going to get straight into it. Who else to start with but Man United? The only team to have a triple game week. First one in 12 years, I believe, which is absolutely mad. How many players are going to start three times?
If you'd asked me this yesterday, I would have said one, and that would be Harry Maguire. But we've had an interesting quote from Solskjaer, which would have been made last night and then embargoed for today. And he said he's played every minute for us, Harry Maguire, but he doesn't think that's possible now. He can't see it happening because of this period of three games in, 5 days. And he's not a happy bunny, he's so sorry. He's been complaining about the people who've never played the game, doing this awful scheduling for them, and that they've got to have it's a two-day turnaround between the Villa and Leicester game. And then again, for the Liverpool game on a Thursday. So, of course, this afternoon, you might have seen him in the Manchester Evening News, where he's talking about, or hinting, that he might even select two separate 11s back-to-back in back-to-back games. So you would think maybe the Leicester game where that would happen. That would make sense because that's the middle one. You know, they could handle the rigours of playing Sunday, Thursday in both ways. But the additional game on the Tuesday, that's the one that's going to be problematic, I would think, you know, looking at it logically. And he might have been hinting towards that. I know, I do wonder whether he'll just make a point about how hard this is on his squad. I wonder if he will name an entirely different side, or whether we will just see more of a drip feeder rotation. You know, some players will miss one game, others will miss the next. But the Liverpool match on the Thursday is the big one, you know, not just in terms of, there's little ride in it in terms of league position for United. I assume will be all but secure a top four place by then. But of course, it's, you know, rival club where you don't want to be doing them any favours. You'd think United would go full strength in that. I know Leicester's just behind them in the league, but I think they need, was it four points really to secure a Champions League place. Might not even need that, depending on what the other teams do. But I think it's inevitable that there will be rotation. I think pretty much every player will get at least one benching, even Maguire based on Solskjaer.
Although I will say there's a subtle difference in what Solskjaer said to how people interpret it.
Yes.
He did say he wouldn't be able to play all the minutes. Yeah. He didn't say he wouldn't be able to start because he's basically played 90 minutes every single game since he joined Man United in the league, I think. Not just this year, last year too. So it could be like 90-60-90. But what I would say to that, I mean, I'm holding on to that glimmer of hope, but it's probably not the best thing to go into a game already having a sub ready, and that's a centre back. It's probably but this whole thing is not an ideal situation. So, but I agree that that Leicester game, like, I think when it first came out, was all the talk was the Villa game would be the rotation. But Man United have played Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, or you know whatever Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, so many times they're used to that. The Leicester match is the problem, really. So I agree. I think most rotation will come in that. Whether it's full changes or you know maybe rest one or two players in Villa just to have kind of half and half, but. Yeah, that's the only thing I picked up on the quote was that he said minutes rather than starts. So
that's true.
I'm hoping. But I think anyone that's going into this thinking players are going to play 390 minutes is crazy. I think you're better off just thinking of it as almost like a guaranteed double with one tough team to play. And then if they're still good for that, go for it.
Exactly.
Are you going to captain Bruno?
I haven't even got him.
Are you going to get him?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. It would be highly risky, and it would bugger my rank. I mean, it's already sort of mid-table mediocrity at the moment, but it would be a good way of making ground if he doesn't do anything. It would be a terrible way of losing ground if he does. It would need major reconstruction, and I would be down another player for next week when because United blank in 36. So I'm thinking of going without.
Okay. The next triple game week might be 2033. I know that it's like it's just that dream, which is I actually think Man United players might be the biggest disappointment this week, but
they could be.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, two games. I think let's just fingers crossed that Maguire still gets that third. I guess Henderson is another one that could get three, but I wouldn't even be surprised if De Gea came in for that middle game either. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I've put Leeds in as the next team, not really because. Obviously, they're not doubling this week, but Rafinha's been a big problem for a lot of our sides recently. There's people like holding on to him for 36 onwards. I've seen some people thinking about transferring him out this week. Now, there's no guarantee he starts this week, but he has been back in training, which is a good sign, surely.
That's right, yeah. We didn't have much of an update yesterday from Bielsa. He said on him and Phillips, who also missed out last weekend, said they've been evaluated on a daily basis. And then they'll have to wait until Saturday to make a judgment call. But we've seen training ground images of training ground video today with both players back in training. So that's good news. I mean, might not be match fit enough for a start. I know Bielsa likes his players to be completely up to speed. You've seen that throughout the season with, you know, Rodrigo not coming straight back in when he's not been 100% match fit. So maybe not this weekend, but a great audition really for 36 onwards. I don't suppose many players will be flocking towards Leeds assets anyway this week because they're a single game week team, but their fixtures get good from there on in. And this will be a good time to suss out whether Rafinha is going to play a part in that. Sounds very positive. He's back in training and I would maybe be involved in some capacity this weekend, if not from the start, which would hopefully stand him in good stead for 36 onwards.
Yeah, the only reason I kind of mentioned it so high up the list is because I know a lot of people are kind of, their plans all focus on either Rafinha being fit next week or bringing him in next week. And so there is a chance, basically, is the message I kind of got from this. Any other key things before we go on to the double game weekers?
Cooper's back from suspension. Bielsa sort of hinting he might start over Strouk, saying that it was other stuff other than on-field performances that need to be factored in. Now, we assume, or we are extrapolating from that, that he might be talking about the fact that Cooper's, you know, captain, that he's a good leader at the back. So he might be back. Helder Costa is out for the season. He's been playing in Rafinha's stead. So he would have been replaced anyway as soon as Rafinha's back.
Good stuff. Okay, let's go on to the double game weekers. We'll start with Leicester. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of forgotten about this. It wasn't until the tweet, but obviously Vardy did pick up a bit of a knock, which he then hobbled a bit. But he did play pretty much the full game. So he's fine, right, for this double. And I guess an extra question in terms of news. Do you think they're going to rotate in that second game because of the FA Cup? Or do you think it's just too big to rotate?
I think it'd been moved back, moved forward 24 hours. So it's now on a Tuesday instead of the Wednesday because of this United triple game. Is a big help in that regard, or can be a big help, because that gives them an extra day of recovery for the FA Cup final. A secondary to that, I think, is the fact that Leicester blew it so badly last season on the last day, and their running is pretty ropey, actually. I think after Newcastle, they've got United, Spurs, and is it Chelsea?
Yeah. Straight after the FA Cup, I think. Last day of the season.
Yeah, play them in the FA Cup final and then again in the league. So, I think Rodgers will be wary about that. I think he'll want the points on the board. He wouldn't want to be going into the last couple of games neck and neck with the likes of West Ham and Liverpool and Spurs behind them. So that's what makes me think he will go nearly full strength. Maybe one or two people, you know, Pereira might drop out because we think he's going to start tonight. Madison, maybe some minute management, maybe even Vardy some minute management, but whether that's just at the end of the game or from the start. Rodgers generally has played his players in periods of congestion unless it's come, you know, in a real severe time. For example, two-day gaps between games at Christmas when they played, I think, on the 26th and the 28th, and he rotated heavily then. But this gives them, you know, 4 days. Of course, he wants a fit and firing team for the FA Cup final, but he also wants a top four player. Yeah. So I'm hoping, as a Vardy and Iheanacho owner, that that moving to Tuesday is actually a big help in that regard.
And also, obviously, that was just speculated. The Man United game could be the one where they do the most rotation, even if it's not a full 11 change.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be a quick win and then start to rest players. Who knows?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Crystal Palace, who's never usually high up the list. But one of the players I think that a lot of people are looking at, especially on free hit, and maybe even to bring in, is Zaha. Now, last week, Hodgson was talking about him having a groin problem, but that seemed to be something that started at the start of the game. And then he played the whole game, right? So did he even mention Zaha today?
Not in the broadcast section. However, I've seen Joe Doyle, who's a Football London reporter. He'll have been there or certainly dialing in at the press conference. And apparently a question was asked in the embargo section, which is at 10:30 tonight. So we don't know what it is. He said, Joe Doyle, it said that there was no mention of an injury in the broadcast section. So I don't know what he's trying to tell us here. One way or the other. We could maybe badger him for the rest of the afternoon if that's what you want. Joe Doyle's his name. I used to work with this guy, funny enough.
I've just found him. Yeah, I'm going to tweet him right now. Yeah. I'm going to tweet him right now.
My previous job was a TV listeners writer. I used to work with Joe in the same department, so maybe they'll get on to him. But no mention of Zaha. Hodgson did discuss injuries. He said they were without Sacco, Ferguson and Wickham. So no mention of Zaha there. All three of them, I think, are back in training. Ferguson is, I think, of the office scene where Gareth hops in at the last moment to try and take a part in that photo shoot. That'll be Nathan Ferguson in game week 38, finally being deflagged. Nathan Ferguson's back in training next week, back in full training. And he's been back on the grass for a long time with the under-23s and whatnot, doing rehab. But he could be back in contention from sort of 36 onwards. But the three that were mentioned, Sacco, Wickham and Ferguson, in terms of absentee. He didn't mention McArthur, though. Again, he previously said that he was touch and go for the rest of the season and didn't mention Zaha, but...
Oh, I hate that. I hate that because you think not mentioning him is fine, but sometimes if managers aren't asked, they just don't disclose the info. Like, why would they, right? So... All right, Joe Doyle, we're coming for you. You need to get onto him if you know him. Give him a call or something. Okay, let's go on to Southampton again. I don't think many people are looking to bring in players, but for those without free hits, I know there's a big thing about Danny Ings. I thought he was out for the season, but apparently not. But the goalkeeper situation, because there was a quote that came out that made it sound like Forster was going to play the double, and then that kind of got dialed back a bit. What's the latest with the goalkeeper situation?
Yeah, so this was quotes originally reported, I think, Hampshire Live. Was it Tom Leach, one of the Southampton reporters? It previously said, or had been quoted as saying that Forster would start these two games. He said there'll be a rotation between the pair of them for the rest of the season. One keeper will play two games. The next will come in and play the next two. He said that Forster would get these next two games. Asked about it again yesterday in the official pre-match press conference. He said he doesn't want to tell us what's going to happen. A reporter asked him about this very thing, and he says he has made a decision already, which maybe it is Forster, and that they will share starts in the final six games. But he asked us to wait and see who was playing, but maybe he's already given the game away in those prior comments to Hampshire Live that Forster's going to start the two. It's absolute rubbish for me because I've got Forster as a sub-keeper. I need him to play in 36.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that.
Because Mendy's my main number one. So I hope he's hoodwinking us and Forster's going to get the next two after this one. But if we're going off his earlier comments, made last weekend, it sounds like Forster's going to start these two, but maybe he's backtracking now. I don't know.
I think you just hope for the best. I'm not sure many goalkeeper transfers are probably worth it. Let's move on to Everton. I think the big news there is James Rodriguez is out. I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily expected him to play both the double game week games anyway. Any other issues they've got?
Yeah, Rodriguez is out of this one. He's back in training next week, so he might need the second instalment of the double game week 35 doubleheader. Decore is back a little bit earlier, I think, than expected. He's been out for a long time now, but he makes a difference to Everton, I think, when he's available. I think that was it. Just going back to something very briefly, you alluded to Ings there when you introduced. Said it's possible he might return against Palace. So that'll be the second part of their game week 35 doubleheader. Same with, I think, Romeo's back in training next week as well. Bertrand's still out. And I think Hasenhüttl does not know where he's going to feature again in 2020-21. And then he's out of contract after that. So we may have seen the last of him playing for Southampton. Who knows?
Good stuff. And with Everton, is it just James Rodriguez that's an issue, or is there anyone else? Sorry.
Yeah, Gbamin's like a long-term one, but I think that's it.
All right, let's go on to Liverpool. I saw a tweet, which I don't even know who it's from, and I've only seen it once, about Kabak. I don't know if he was mentioned specifically in the press conference, but there is no major injuries, right? I don't think he said anything apart from the long-running ones.
Well, this is kind of what you said before, but if he's not asked about a certain player, he's not going to tell us unprompted. He said there were, I think, what was it, bumps and bruises heading into this one. He was named in the team last weekend, wasn't he, for the aborted Man United match, as was Phillips, I think. And Phillips is fit. Klopp did confirm that this afternoon. But his exact words were, we have a few bumps and bruises. We have to make late decisions in a few positions. So that could well mean Kabak, if there's any truth whatsoever into this rumour, which I should add is completely unfounded at this moment. You know, I don't know if this person's reliable or not. But Phillips is fit if you are looking for a cheap Liverpool centre-half. Henderson's back running, but nowhere near team training just yet. I think that's pretty much it from today's presser, which doesn't necessarily mean there isn't anything to worry about.
Oh, wow, yeah, hopefully not. Okay, let's go on to Spurs, which I think is pretty much the same as it's been for weeks now, right? Ben Davis, the only one?
Yeah, he's the only one not in training. And Ndombele and Lucas Moura, they were both benched last weekend. And Mason explained that was because they hadn't actually trained in the run-up to that match, apart from like one day before the game. So they'll have had like an extra week to be back in. Mason was praising Bale to the rafters, saying that he's close to his best. Also discussed Ali as well. He was back in the starting 11 last weekend. Said he trained himself into the team and that he's been excellent. So maybe he gets another start, although with it being Leeds and, you know, more legs required, maybe Lucas comes back in for that. But yeah, as you said, Davies the only absentee.
Good stuff. And Chelsea, another double game week team. Obviously, one of their games is against Man City. Obviously, not long after the Champions League as well. Are you expecting much rotation, or do you think we're going to see a similar team to the Real Madrid one, possibly?
Well, he's sort of hinted that there will be rotation because mentioned the fact that they've got one less day to recover than City. Said that they're going to need some fresh legs and fresh minds. Was also asked about the fact that Chelsea have beaten City already in the FA Cup semi-final. We'll play them again in the Champions League final. And was asked whether he's going to name like the sort of same setup in all three games and sort of said he didn't know yet whether he's going to sort of experiment tactically. I suspect you might look upon this as the... whilst they're not assured of a Champions League place by any stretch, you might look upon this as the game to not write off, but they've got easier tests to wait. I mean, they can afford to lose this, and I think, and still be in the top four. Is that right? And then they've got Arsenal to come after this. So, I mean, he's done this anyway ever since he's come in. He's rotated. I don't think he's really got a settled first 11, with the exception of like a few players like Mount, Azpilicueta. He's pretty much told us that there will be changes again. Kovacic is the only injury absentee for the first part of game week 35. He might be back for Arsenal, but it's a slim chance. And I think other than that, everyone is fit.
Yeah, they can lose and still be top four, but it would be very squeaky bum time because West Ham, if they win, would have the same points. So, well, I know what you mean. Like, it's like Man City is the toughest game they got left. So Maybe even playing for a draw or something would be interesting. But yeah, the fact the top four is still so wide open is great for FPL purposes, because most teams are going to have to play full strength. Aston Villa, another team with a double. Doesn't look like Jack Grealish is going to make it back, but maybe soon, possibly.
Maybe for the second, and a bit like a lot of players we've mentioned already in this press conference roundup, like Ings and Kovacic, could be back for the second game week 35 fixture. So he's not going to be available this weekend against United. Same with Morgan and Sanson. But Grealish is already back on the grass and expected to return to the sort of full training early next week. So you never know. We might see him in the, is it the Everton rematch, the Swift Everton rematch?
Yeah.
The second double game week 35 fixture. So yeah, I know people, a few people I've seen discussing El Ghazi. He was very attractively priced, loves a shot, is on penalties, but that's Grealish's place, really, the left wing. So and not that I'm trying to put anyone off him, but just be aware that Grealish is back in training and could be involved against Everton. Whether that's from the start or that's from the bench, he's so talismanic that I think they'll want to play him. But given what's happened, given the setbacks he's had, they might be gradually reintroducing him. So you never know, you may get two starts out of El Ghazi. Apart from that, I think there's just Trezeguet who's out.
Yeah, from his point of view, I guess like the Euros is still such a big thing. He probably doesn't want to risk it, especially when Villa are safe, right? Just quickly on Joe about Zaha and Crystal Palace. So just for the purposes of this video, I did send him a quick tweet and he said the same thing, like the broadcast section, that's all they can say for now. So yeah. I said, fair enough, if he's fit, don't reply any further. And so far he's not replied. So, you know, take that as you will. But yeah, we're not going to find out. So it's yeah, that's really annoying, that one. But anyway, that's my own problems for after this. Let's move on to... We ain't got many left, actually. Man City, really far down the list. But let's go to West Ham next. So they've got Antonio back. So I think last week we knew he was kind of close. We didn't know if he'd start, and he did. So it's only really Declan Rice now with the most of the first 11, I think, is missing.
Yeah, he's one of the sort of low-key... least helpful managers, Moyes. He's a bit, you know, we decry Solskjaer and all that for his sort of sleight of hand tactics, but Moyes is very unhelpful. Like he said the same thing last week about Antonio and Crespo. They both were fit and played. Now this week he said pretty much the same thing about his 400 players. One of them is Declan Rice, as you said, they're the most important one. There's also Noble, Ogbonna and Masuaki were all out as well. He said he didn't want to put a time frame on them. They're just trying to recover them as quickly as possible. So very unhelpful. I think ex-West Ham employee, who we cite on here lots of times, he said Noble and Ogbonna's got a chance for this weekend. Didn't mention Masuaku or Rice, so maybe them two are a little bit behind. But yeah, in terms of the big names, the fantasy names, I don't think we got any indication that there's anything wrong with the likes of Antonio or Lingard or anyone like that.
Good stuff. Okay, let's do Man City. Obviously, I feel like we've forgotten about them over the last few weeks. They've got... obviously, no double, so that's kind of one of the reasons why they're playing Chelsea. But, I mean, it's same old, right? He's told us he's going to rotate. We know they're going to rotate, and that's it, right?
Yeah, they've got Stones absent through suspension, and apart from that, I didn't hear any injuries declared. I do think... Did Pep say he was going to rotate today? Because David was covering this press conference, I must admit. David had like 5 at 1:30.
So the quote that I've got on screen right now, he said, I think I've misread it. People might think the guys who played against Dortmund and Gladbach are going to play. I don't know what I want. But then he said, what I want is everyone involved in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Right. So that I misread the first bit, but the second bit made me think that, I mean, he always rotates, right? So he's going to continue. Like, they've won the league. I guess once that's wrapped up, do you not think?
Yeah. I think this weekend, this is just, again, my hunch. Because actually the team news have been pretty easy to predict in the past few weeks. You kind of just know where he's going to rotate, which is unlike normal. I think he'll probably go full strength this weekend. I'm thinking so anyway, because a win seals the championship. They've got a week, I think, or 6 days certainly after this game. They were playing on Tuesday, so that's like, you know, 4 days rest. And, you know, a win gets them over the line. Chelsea's, of course, easy opposition. So I assume that he'll go something similar to what he sent out against PSG. And we kind of almost know what his first choice 11 is now.
He
said this afternoon that he's got decisions to make in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So it could be like that same strikerless setup, you know, without that recognised forward, either Bernardo leading the line or De Bruyne forward and even. Laporte will obviously come in. Rodri might come in for Fernandinho, obviously, because he started twice in the last week. But Fernandinho is the only outfield player, who started both last weekend's game and then the PSG game. So fatigue, I wouldn't say like a massive issue heading into this one. And it's the potential coronation of the title. So I would just assume it's going to go strong for this.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting afterwards because the Champions League final is a week after the end of the season. So they could potentially go kind of full strength in 38 to keep those players going.
So.
But the last day of the season is the last... Chelsea's a home game. But after that, they've only got the last day of the season, Everton. And you just think surely Aguero gets a good amount of time in the last ever home game with fans. Goal record, I think he's like one behind Rooney or something.
Yeah.
He's going to get minutes, isn't he? He's surely.
I think so. He may be the exception.
Just trying to guess when.
Yeah. I mean, him and Fernandinho. I mean, Fernandinho is still very much front and central of Pep's plans. He was playing in midweek against PSG and was excellent.
And didn't get yellow carded. He's a magician.
Yeah. he's a sly bugger as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Aguero, less so, of course. Aguero's so peripheral now. I think you're right. Yeah, I think Pep does strike me as quite a sentimental type.
Yeah,
I might hide it quite
so.
Well, but he's often talked about how he loves Aguero as a person and as a man. So, yeah, I think you're right. Otherwise, well, I think you might be on the money there with 38 being to get them into a rhythm, as he's mentioned so often before, ahead of the Champions League final. And then whatever happens in between, there might be some further rotation.
Yeah, we'll do what we've done every single week this season, try and figure it out and get it completely wrong most of the time. I think that's what you can do with Man City. Let's go on to your boys, Newcastle. Any major things there?
I'd completely forgotten about Newcastle because it was yesterday and they're just so far removed from anybody's thoughts.
No fresh injury worries, I think.
No fresh injuries, no. Yeah, Willock's back. He's back from... he was ineligible to play against Arsenal last weekend. Bruce strongly hinting that he's going to start, maybe for Longstaff. Otherwise, I think it's just the same players are out. Wilson got 90 minutes under his belt last weekend. Bruce said he's benefited from that and he's injury-free. So, as you were, I think.
Good stuff. So only a few more left. We'll just run through them quick. Burnley, next up.
Yeah, Burnley, I suppose it's quite big because Chris Wood was, a very popular option, still is, with his form in the last few weeks. Now, he came off later on against, who were they playing? West Ham. And he hasn't been flagged since because Dyche has been saying he's been all right. But he had a dead leg in that match. And then Dyche went on to say that he'll be fine. He's come through a week all clear. But then right at the end of that sentence, when discussing him and Pope, I think he used the word hope. We hope that they're going to be all right or should be all right or something like that, which is always puts an element of doubt in your mind. But the fact that the Burnley website subsequently declared Wood fit, I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to be fine. Dead leg, you run that off. He's a big, tough lad, but I think he should be all right. I think in terms of injuries, it's just Brady and Long are still out, and then Stevens has got a minor knock, but nothing much to report other than Wood.
Cool. What about Wolves?
Yeah, body's still out. He's got this long COVID. He's suffering from fatigue, so he had come back following his isolation, but then we've heard about this long COVID before. It affects you for months and months. So he's not going to make it. Could be back the week after. Jimenez has got a consultation on the 18th of May, so that could give him the all clear. So he could be back for 37-38. Apart from that, I think, Moutinho's available. He was passed fit by Nuno this afternoon. Who again hinted that there was problems without telling us who they were. Now we saw Ike Nori come off against West Brom, where I think he was limping off, so he might be one of them. But got quite shirty with a reporter who tried to ask who these injuries were, and said he wasn't going to tell you. So prepare
that
for
that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So prepare for a no-show that hasn't been declared.
Yeah, it would be really good to see Jimenez back. So hopefully that happens because obviously it was a horrific injury. So fingers crossed he comes back. I have missed, I think, one double game week team just because they're randomly down the end of the list, which is Arsenal. Obviously played last night. Now very little to play for, I would say. Potentially still a European spot up for grabs. But it's going to be difficult. I think Lacazette got on the pitch, although he was a substitute. Yeah. Do you think he's going to be fit to start kind of every game now or...?
I don't know, because Arteta's comments last night were kind of cagey. He said he was only available to start for 10 to 15 minutes, or feature for 10 to 15 minutes, because he hadn't even trained properly ahead of that game last night, and was thrown on for the final stage, and he couldn't do much more than that. So whether 3 days of training has given him enough time to get up the match sharpness. We did actually hear similar comments about Aubameyang, and then he went and started in game week 34 against Newcastle. So he might be all right. There might be rotation. It's not that he has anything to play for anymore in European terms, but it comes less than 72 hours after the Villarreal game, and then it comes before a Chelsea match in midweek. So there might still be changes from Arteta. Even though we talked about bouncing back, Xhaka, he pulled out in the warm-up with muscle tightness. David Luiz, who his availability is important if you've got Rob Holden, because they're both the right-sided centre-halves. Luiz limped out last weekend in the Newcastle game. Arteta said it didn't look good. However, we've seen Luiz back in training this week, so he might have made a swift recovery. He wasn't involved on Thursday, but he has been cited in team training on Wednesday, so... if you're a holding owner, no guarantees that he's going to get both games. There isn't, even if Luiz isn't fit, because we saw Chambers come on as the right-sided centre-half in Newcastle. So, as usual with Arsenal, even though they're out of the Europa League, elements of doubt, certainly for double gaming 35, and they might be back to full strength now as the season closes in. But this weekend, prepare for, I think, a change or two, at least.
Fair play. I think we've got four teams left. So the next one is Brighton.
Yeah, Lallana's out. He could be back for game 36, but he's not going to make this one. I think apart from that, I think Potter didn't mention much. Do you want to prompt me on the rest?
Yeah, Fulham.
I think for the life of me. Oh, yeah, Fulham. Kearney could be back. We've been seeing this for weeks. He's back on the grass. He's been training. Potter's going to make a judgment call whether he's going to be involved. Hopes the same for the end of the season. Harrison Reed, who missed out last weekend, he's been back in light training, so they'll assess him. They've got a Monday game, so gives them a bit of extra time to recover. Who's next?
Just Sheffield United and West Brom, then that is it,
Sheffield United, West Brom, yeah. Yeah, we are in the dregs now, aren't we? Nothing new, I think, from Heckenbottom. He said he didn't reveal any, didn't have any fresh concerns. He said everything was as it was. So I don't know if that means Amadou's still out. Kean Bryan might be back. He was attending the birth of his child last week. O'Connell, McBurney, Sharp still out. West Brom, Snodgrass is out for the season, it looks like. Ainsley Maitland-Niles can't play this weekend. A bit like Willock last weekend, because he's facing Arsenal. It was his parent club. And I think that's all we've heard from Allardyce. So there you go.
Good stuff. I know not everyone is necessarily in at the start, but obviously you can go back and watch the bit about Crystal Palace, etc., Man United especially. I've just been trying to find on Twitter just something about Zaha. There's another journalist here that just said the same thing. Sounds like he's okay. Hodgson was asked about the injured players, whether it was only those he mentioned. He didn't mention Zaha. Same thing you said. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, you just take the risk or not. I think we're not going to likely get any news until... after the deadline, and if it is that he's injured, we'll just have a bit of a cry together. That's all. But yeah, give it a like if you enjoy it. Hit subscribe if you're new around here. Obviously, if there is anything else major between now and the deadline, or even afterwards, we'll put it out on the Twitter account FF Scout, and there'll be the team news roundup on fantasyfootballscout.co.uk as well. Neil, thank you very much for joining me and giving us all that info once again.
My pleasure. Yeah, see you next week.
Give it a like, hit that subscribe button. Good luck. There's only just over 3 hours to go to the deadline. Get those decisions locked in, and we will see you same time next week. Cheers all.